I try to choose speak as much as I can when I'm here, because I'm not here very often. And trying to find a gap in the year where we can have a break is a logistic nightmare for me. In fact, since we've been here for 24 years, we've only had 3 holidays. Because trying to find a gap in the year with everything that we do is not very good. And when we take a break for about a week, and that's about it. We have to come back. So it's not a disrespect to you that we only gave you the time that we did, because we want you to come back and preach. But I wanted to say something to the church, because we're gone again. We're going to have a little break sometime at the end of May, because that's about the only time we could find. But when I get back, I disappear for another 3 weeks. And we've just been away for a break. We'll be away for a break. So I'll disappear for about 5 weeks altogether. But if we don't take that break, we won't have a break. Are you all right? So when we come back from our break, I have to go to Dunedin, then go to Auckland, then go to Sarajevo, and then come back. Are you okay? So stop moaning. Hallelujah. But Pastor Kim last week shared on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then about 2 Sundays before that, when Malcolm and Linda were here, they shared on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Last year, we shared on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then somebody else came in. And I thought, I think God is trying to say something to us. Because sometimes in our own familiarity, we can miss the miraculous. Are you okay? So I thought I'll just share a little bit this morning, because tonight we're going this afternoon to a family funeral, which we're going to take, and that will finish tomorrow. Then we'll come back. And in the midst of that, I'm trying to write an essay of about 16,000 words, which is not the biggest essay I've written, but I have to write that between Tuesday and Friday. And some of you young kids, you get a 500-word essay, and that's not an essay. That's just a sentence, all right? So, yeah. But sometimes Jesus said, "Where shall we find bread that these may eat?" I'm reading from John chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Many times, God will tell us to meet a need we can't meet. Are you okay? We recognize that there's a need there. There's 5,000 men left, let alone women and children. And Jesus is telling a disciple who can't perform a miracle, "Where can we find bread to feed this lot?" And many times Jesus will ask that of us and almost like put the responsibility on us to do something. Now, he knows he's the miracle worker, but many times Jesus will tell us to do something that we know and he knows we can't do. "Take up your bed and go home." And after 38 years of lying in a bed, how can you tell a man to get up and go home when you know that he can't do it. And he said, I can't do it. I get up and go and get healed, but somebody gets to the pool before I get there. Stretch out your hand. How can you stretch your hand when your hand can't move? It's not that he's an unkind God, but many times God will tell us to do something that we can't do and meet a need we know we can't meet. When the prophet said to the woman, probably the poorest woman in Sarepta, can I have a drink and have a cake? Many times God will tell us that, even though he knows that we can't handle it. The auntie that passed away in Porirua was in Samoa with fear to bury another auntie. And she died in Samoa before she came. She went to bury her sister and died in Samoa. And I rang her husband. And he just broke down on the phone. And we just cried on the phone. How do you handle things like that? Like the Reverend said this morning, sometimes in working as a chaplain, you see so much hurt and so much pain, and you know in your heart you can't do it. And yet God put you there to be the answer to somebody's problem. And you know you can't fix it. Are you all right? And then he tells you, you know, where are we going to do this? He gives you unreasonable demands. Are you okay? You feed them. You go feed. Give me a break. How can I feed 5,000? Men, let alone their wives and their children, and the Jews don't have family planning. They don't like Pakistanis who only have 3 children. They have tribes. And yet he tells these men who don't have anything between them to feed them. We go feed them. Are you okay? When we were building this thing, it's probably the biggest amount of money we loan from the bank. And if anybody that knows me, I don't particularly like borrowing. The borrower is servant to the lender. And many times the church is a servant of the bank. And yet there's enough money in Christian hands to do anything they can do. But they look at the crowd and they say, we can't do it. And I remember walking the beaches of Oriwa in about 5:30 in the morning praying, God, how are we going to pay this off? And God said, if you get the church to put $20, $10 in monthly or weekly payments, you know, it's just a lunch. He said, the loan will be paid come Christmas next year. Now, this was almost Christmas this year. I think it was about August. He said it'll be paid Christmas next year. That was only about 15 months away, and the loan was taken out for 15 years. So I came back, announced to the church, and Christmas came the following year. It wasn't paid off. It was $37,000. Left, and I said to God, he said it'll be paid off. Now give God a break. because not even half the church picked it up. And I look at the thing, it was $37,000 left, which is amazing for having 14 plus months. It was only $37,000 left. And so I said to the church, we'll take a miracle offering to clear that, because it was about 3 weeks or 2 weeks before Christmas. So we took up a miracle offering. We got a miracle of $11,000. I said, it's not enough, Lord. But when I sent a couple of the elders down to put in the loan, they came back and said, good news. I said, what? Because we paid it off so fast, we only needed $11,000. And sometimes God will tell us to do something that you and I, when we calculate in our human logic, know it can't be done. When he said to a general who came across the gates of the promised land entrenched, and he said to the general, walk around the gates, walk around Jericho once every day for 6 days and seven times. Now, how many know those instructions are totally illogical? That if you were a sane human being, you wouldn't do it. Many times he'll tell you to do something that you know that you can't do. But one of the things God wants us to realize is God wants us to recognize what we have. It's not that God wants you to recognize what you have. What have you got in your hand? I've just got a stick. We'll throw it down. I'll show you something. When the widow went to the prophet, my sons are going to be taken to pay our debt off. The prophet asked, what have you got in your house? Most of us will answer like what she did. I've got nothing. Hang on a minute. I've got a little bottle of oil. You need to recognize what you have, but many times if you compare what you have to the need, what you have is not even a drop in the ocean. It's not even a drop. Are you all right? They recognize it. We've just got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And even that, we had to bully a boy to give it. Well, I think, can you imagine a Bertie Samoan coming over to a little kid? Hey, give me a lunch. What for? That kid was obviously not Samoan. Why? Because if he's a Samoan, he wouldn't have a lunch. He would have been gone, probably turn up to school with no lunch. But then Jesus did something. He said, tell them to sit down in numbers. And then Jesus took what the boy had and blessed what was not enough. God can bless what is not enough. Our problem is we look at what we have and we know it's not enough. So guess what we do? We keep it. And when we keep it, that's all we will ever, ever have. And even that, when we keep it, is not enough. You can't feed 5,000. But you can give your lunch. Jesus is not asking you to do something that he knows that you and him can't do. When Jesus can break, when God said to me to raise 57,000 for the event center, I said to God, God, we don't need $57,000. We need a lot more than 57. What do you want me to raise $57,000 for? And he never answers. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll ask God the most silliest question and he'll answer. And sometimes I'll ask you the most important question and he won't say anything. One time, I mean, literally, but he doesn't do that all the time. You know, you can't make God talk. I said to God, because I was way somewhere and I didn't have a chance to look at the TV. I said to God, who won the game? He said, Australia. I said, what? Now I asked God about other things and he said nothing. And I asked him, why 57,000? We need more than 300,000 to just finish the thing. And he said, raise 57,000. Why for? Nothing. You can't make God talk. God is God. And then they went to calculate what was left to be done. And they come up, we'll do it in sections. So we'll do this part and then this part. It's easier to, you know, tell the man to sit down in 50s. And when they calculated the five sections that were left, guess how much each one was? 57,000. And then God said something that stopped my breath. He said, you give 10% of every single 57,000. So you give 5,700 five times. I said, God. And every single spare dollar went to. And guess what? I've already given it. It's done. He said, if you do that, the church will do the rest. Are you okay? So God will bless what is not enough and make it enough. Hallelujah. Now, this is the amazing thing. The miracle did not happen. The miracle to multiply did not happen when Jesus had the lunch. The miracle multiplied when the disciple gave out what he gave them. It's when we give what he gives that multiplication begins. But we, you and I, have to learn to give our not enough to him. Are you all right? Sometimes, as we shared before, sometimes it takes a mountain for us to trust. Sometimes it takes a desert for us to trust him. And you look at the people that move history. They didn't have anything, but they saw a mountain, and somehow they trusted God to do it. How could a black man, an angry young lawyer, could conquer a nation that was steeped in apartheid? But it took a mountain for him, whatever was going on in his heart. A little sister, Mother Teresa, saw poverty, took a mountain. Sometimes it takes a mountain for us to trust him. You right there, Steve? You gonna show something?
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold.
Sometimes, see, it takes a mountain. Let's trust him to do what we can't do. If we are faithful to the natural, he'll be faithful to the supernatural. God bless.